AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, but we also can be heard throughout the world and, of course, the USA on the internet by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I want to tell you that we really appreciate everybody that tunes in every week. Some people tell me they tune in on the radio, some are on the internet, because I know, being in radio for some years, with so many outlets available at any given hour of the day on the radio, we appreciate those who choose to listen to our broadcasts here on 860 AM, and thank you for spreading the word about all of our efforts. I urge you to check out the links that are on the front page of our site. As you know, people like to enjoy jazz, rock, classic, and a dozen of other formats, and I'm glad that you take your time to listen what we have to say and then go out and spread the word. That's the biggest thing that I have had come back from people, that they listen, they go out, and they are now going out with vim and vigor to the stores and telling the people, hey, what is going on with our American-made stuff? What are we going to do to get our jobs back? How about our graduates back in the workplace? What are we going to do all those kinds of things? We have a lot of things on today's agenda, and I'm very happy to say that we have Rich Loges here with us. We have Mark Andel and Larkin Connolly, and everyone is ready to go. By the way, guys, I heard from several people in my travels going to some graduation events that they really enjoyed last week's efforts to discuss national leadership. Maybe we'll have to discuss a few more points on that issue today, because people are in disbelief that this has happened to us over the years. And they keep telling me, whatever happened? And I say, well, it's like Mark Twain said, the secret to getting ahead is getting started. Our question is, when will America's leaders get started so we can finally get ahead? So let's speak with more forcefulness, and maybe we can encourage our leaders and maybe even put them on a hot seat to get started so that we have some real change in our lifetime, and especially with the new election coming up. We're going to start off today with Rich. How are you doing?
Guys, good morning to everyone. Good morning to our listeners. Well, Michael, since you're going to bring up Mark Twain, I'm probably going to butcher this one, but another great Twainism was, better to keep your mouth closed and hide your stupidity than open your mouth and leave no doubt to it. That's a pretty good one.
I love it. I'm sure I'm
not exactly getting that right, but
that Mark Twain statement of the day, the secret to getting ahead is getting started. That's really the fact. And when will we get started? After all these years, we helped a lot of other nations get started. We helped them revitalize. We rebuilt them, in fact, after different world wars and conflicts. We went in, we rebuild them now. Their technology is better than ours in many cases. And here we are. We're still focusing on a lot of other things, but nothing here at home. Mark, what do you have to say to that?
How you doing, guys? It's been fun right along. We're here in June now, Mike, and last week I'm still thinking about, you know, Larkin being fired up and what we've got going. You know, what you're saying is we got to get started, and the more I think about it, the more accurate we are. I don't know if you guys received that consumer report. I had Sue email you guys. It's Consumer Reports for July 2015 here. Front page says Made in America. What it means, when it matters, and why everything you thought you knew is changing. And I'm going to go through some quotes on that later in the show. Just awesome to see the movement alive and well, and they really nailed it with about six pages. And there's some things I want to talk about, Mike, but we're on the same page. We got the grit. I want to keep it moving forward. Like Larkin said, we need a leader.
He's absolutely right. You know what? We have so many people in the USA, quality people. I don't understand why they don't want to come forward and be in a leadership position. Do you know that answer, Larkin?
No, I don't think I do, Mark. Michael, good morning. Mark, good morning, Rich and Henry. From sunny Florida, and when I say sunny, I mean I have to wear two pair of sunglasses when I go outside today.
And are they American made?
It's absolutely, of course they are. It's absolutely beautiful down here. There's very little humidity, although we're probably going to get deluged this afternoon, as they always do in Florida. But it's absolutely beautiful down here. You know, you talk about Mark Twainisms. I'd like to throw one in from an actress from back at the turn of the 19th century by the name of Mary Pickford, who very infamously said in an interview once, failure is not falling down, failure is staying down. And that's always been one of my favorite. And I would add to Mark's article, and I hope that they address that the backbone of the resurgence of the Made in America efforts is going to depend on us rebuilding our infrastructure. And that infrastructure, so that we have a supply chain for the people who want to make things in America, that infrastructure is going to start with initiatives just like the one that I'm involved with, SCORE, and starting small businesses that manufacture the small parts that go into the bigger parts that go into the biggest parts that ultimately create the parts and machines and all the other stuff that is ultimately made in America. So the leader, I still haven't found one that I'm still looking at. I do know that one of the highest elected individuals in this country right now said a couple of weeks ago that our budding successful entrepreneurs and successful small business people and large business people owe their success to hitting the lottery, which I thought was...
Well, that's right. A million-dollar winner every day somewhere in the USA.
Yeah, but that was not what his intention was. His intention was that it's the country and it's the luck in the government to create the successes that our small, medium, and large businesses have in this country. What he fails to recognize is the ability or the desire to take a risk, you know, to throw all caution to the wind to create a successful small, large, medium-sized business. And actually claim that the success that most businesses in this country appreciate has been brought on by the lottery or luck, the mere fact that they're in this country. It was kind of a slap in the face to small businesses and budding entrepreneurs by not recognizing what Mark Gandel did to get where he is today, which is an inordinate amount of risk, throwing caution to the wind, doing what is right, and creating what is sustainable in this country.
Absolutely. You know, Larkin, this year, between high school and college graduates, we have several million people graduating. Now, in speaking with some of the boys and girls, some of them found the types of jobs they were looking for in their fields. But most of them, I'm sad to say, are not that fortunate. And as we discuss different things, because I always give out my American Workers Radio flyers wherever I go, I see there's a change in our young people. They're starting to say, well, how can this be? I put all this time in for a quality education, and now I am out of school and I'm offered to go to the shore for a summer job or to substitute for cook or something like that. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And even going into some of our job seeker institutions, CareerLink, and all these other places, there's nothing available for a more schooled person, and that's very unfortunate.
Hey Mike, I want to read one thing.
As Rich so aptly says, it kind of spits in the face of the value of a higher education in this country and the need that not everybody needs to go out and graduate from a four-year college with $80,000 worth of debt in order to fit into a society that doesn't have any or an ecosystem that doesn't have any a place for them.
The thing that I was very cheered up about is the fact that the young people are saying, my parents had jobs, never had a lull in their lifetime. Here I am, I'm graduating with a higher degree than they were able to achieve, and yet I have no place to go. Mark, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I want to just a couple of quotes here from this Consumer Report, what I think is right in line with what we're talking about. This one, the value of manual labor. A whole generation of students, young people who want to work with their hands, want to do manufacturing. We've done them a huge disservice by destroying the infrastructure for industrial arts, wood and metal shop. Even home economics doesn't exist anymore. So kids don't know how to sew buttons, much less become an engineer. Right now, our primary use of education is as a holding pen for our kids.
And you know, Mark, I want to tell you, that's very good. Colleges have almost become a babysitting services for the right price. The sad part of it is, what you just said is people don't know how to sew a button, don't know how to balance a checkbook, don't know how to do anything, don't know how to screw in a new switch on a light switch. Everything seems to be a problem. How can that possibly be? Because they go to the classroom, they get a half-decent education, but they leave with no hands-on experience. When you see people at a party, which, sort of scares me, and the entire time they're on their cell phone, that doesn't allow me to know anything about them. There's no socializing. Everything is hitting the buttons and laughing at the cell phone and all. It doesn't make sense to me. But the biggest part of the problem I see is that the national leaders, whether they're elected officials, state leaders, Board of Education, no one is saying, how are we going to resolve the nightmare that we've created for 30 or 35 years? Larkin?
Well, I think it all comes back, and again, this is the stuff that that Rich has been touting so much, and that is, are we offering a relevant education to the young people in this country? Are they actually graduating from college with skills beyond their ability to pursue a professional degree in law or economics or finance? What are we teaching? What are we insisting that these kids do in college that's going to create a relevant circumstance for them? And that's where I think we've really let the youth of America down.
And, Larkin, that's exactly why I think we are on the right track. We're small voices. Unfortunately, we don't have the big media, the people on the cable networks and the evening news and all running behind our ideas. They're not doing that because the majority of their sponsors, their advertisers, represent merchandisers or importers that are bringing products in from overseas. So do you slap your customer in the face so that you can put a point across? We're in a different situation on this broadcast. We're able to do what we want to do. We're able to say what we want to say. Some of the big, big contenders don't have that. They can go after individuals. They can talk, about this star or that star, which no one really cares about. And good thing that these subjects are coming up, because majority of the people are telling me, I don't care about these stars anymore. And these are all millionaires. What are they giving them even more time and money's worth of value on their broadcasts? World news, it should be world news with a little bit of How are we going to help our country, not save, but help our country, get our youth back to work, get our people who are on different programs because there's no other way for them to financially support themselves back into the job market? That's the big question. And Larkin, your organization, SCORE, has been there for a long time. We'd like to see many more people come forward and join your ranks so they can walk out of there and say, I have mentoring already from SCORE. I'm ready to move forward. Of all the young people that I've talked to in the last month, maybe two told me they would like to go into business. The other said I would rather be employed by someone.
Well, you know, there's honor in being employed. And we all can't own companies. Companies need support. They need infrastructure. They need employees. And there's honor in doing that. The problem is that we're just not preparing the youth of America to be able to serve in that capacity.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to state to just get off of my chest is, somebody's got to explain to me why I have to turn on the nightly news to find out that Bruce Jenner changed his name to Caitlyn. Why is that national news?
I don't understand that either.
I mean, he can do whatever he wants. It's a free country. It's God bless America. But why is it news?
Well, Larkin, hold on a second. First of all, you got to get it right. It's not what he wants to do. It's what she wants to do.
Secondly, I'm sorry.
Secondly, I
stand correct.
ABC, it's on the cover of every magazine. So if you miss it on ABC, you'll get it anywhere else you look, Larkin. My wife all the time says to me, when I rant about this stuff, my wife always says the same thing. Well, if you don't like it, why do you look at it? And I tell her, for Christ's sake, they know everywhere I look, it's there. I can't not look at it. It's like not breathing. It's like not breathing, because everywhere you look, it's there. It's on the TV. It's on the computer. It's on the radio. It's on the – I'm waiting. One day, Michael, I'm waiting when I'm sitting in my condo, when the planes go by with the billboards, there's going to be a billboard of that on the back of the airplane like we do down here. I mean, I'm just waiting for it. So it's there, Larkin. But I have to also, Michael, indulge myself for one moment, because I need to follow up on Larkin's point about the lottery. So – Larkin, for those who don't know, right, that was the president, our president, who said that. Who said that business success is winning the lottery. And here's where I look at a statement like that. The problem with the Democratic Party as a whole in this country is in their presentation. They don't know how to talk about small business, business creation, and business success without always making it about the gazillionaires. And it's not, of course, a successful business has a well-run management, good organization. All those people are contributing to a goal. If any luck has come about, if you're a small business, chances are that luck has come from the fact that you worked until 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for a really long time while you probably weren't making any money, right? The old saying about try to create your own luck. Are there issues in America, guys, with access to economic opportunities? Yes, but I'm going to tell you something. That challenge of access has a lot more to do with just race. And what's really scary, Larkin, what's actually really scary is there are some successful business people I know who actually agree with the president on that. So why don't you just dismiss all of the actual work that you've put into a business, all the sacrifice, all of the things that went into creating a business which has no guarantee of success whatsoever. It has no guarantee. We have to try to make our own guarantees. The problem with the president's statements, and it's plural because he's had more than one, and the party as a whole in America, is they have a presentation problem. Now, I could talk about the Republican side also, but the Democratic narrative has a lot to do with keeping well and flaming the embers of dependency. Dependency, dependency has less to do with you, more to do with others. And that is the problem that the Democrats have, Larkin, in America, talking about business and small business creation. The president knows how to talk, as is evidenced by all of his speeches. I'm surprised that he couldn't do any better. But here's why he doesn't have to do any better, Larkin, because the people listening are going to agree no matter what's said. No matter what is said for those who supported him. So it doesn't matter. No incentive to word it, to present it the right way. Mark, did you hit the lotto starting out?
No, my father called me this morning and told me what numbers he thinks I should play.
Yeah, my wife, too. She keeps hitting that. My wife keeps talking about hitting this Powerball down here. I tell her, damn it, would you accelerate that plan already?
I'm not going to tell you the numbers because you'd get mad at me. But, you know, hard work produces luck. We all know it. But, yeah, we work very, very hard every day. You know, Rich, you know, even Mike and Larkin and Henry. You know, every day we do what we do. But, yeah, there's some comments that, you know, are said by people that never had a business. That because, you know, it's hard to understand unless you live and breathe one. And that's one problem I have where I think we need a qualified businessman in leadership. And, Larkin, I think you'd agree, you know, starting your business. I toy with the idea, like, that the twin boys and you could spend $100,000 to $200,000 in college for 4 years. You could argue that number, but with interest you're definitely going to pay it one way or another. Or you could take somebody and give them a $50,000 loan and say, hey, good luck. What do you, you know, find your passion, open a business. Larkin, I'd love to start the challenge, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. You know, a lot of people, you know, they go for something and mom and dad pushed and they come out and they work at a rent-a-center because the job doesn't exist for whatever, you know, they took. There's just so much, you know, issues we got to change on, you know, like we always talk about that German way, find a place to work and then find out what they need and go to school for it.
Exactly. You know, Mark, and that's exactly what happened during this graduation season. I mean, especially those that graduated the latter part of May. That everyone that I spoke to said, my goodness gracious, no one would believe that this happened to us. I am now in debt. My repayment plan begins in January. I don't have a job. Pretty interesting point. But I have to say this. At this point, people are looking at the labels, and that's starting to even hurt some of the stores because people look at the labels closely, and they're starting to agree that those cheap imports have really benefited some people in the short run, but killed a lot of other people in the long run. Number one, our manufacturing base, American workers, America's students, and everyone who would like to be in the industry. When we talk about manufacturing, Mark, we're not only talking about people on the production line. When you have a manufacturing facility, you have dozens of other jobs that are all created around the product you're making and getting to market. There's the person who supervises, the purchasers, the shippers, everybody who gets there to do the advertising, to get to the stores to make sure that the stock is, you know, placed according to the way you've specified. There's so many of these jobs, and yet they're not available to the American young people because those products are coming on the container to America, ready to get on the shelf. And that's what's starting to get people shaky. When I argue, when I discuss with people that they have to look at the labels more closely, they said, I agree now. And as I look, I'm horrified. Where is America's products represented? What store has them? And that's another project for the near future.
Yeah, buy local, you know, people don't realize you're supporting a business that pays taxes. You're supporting a business that pays payroll. You're supporting a business that buys other products and services in your neighborhood. It just grabs us. I got to quote one more thing out of this consumer book again about the history. It's our history. Manufacturing, technology, and engineering is an integral part of the experience of so many American families. People who worked in mines, mills, and factories, they built the railroads and infrastructure for our country. You don't have to drill too deeply into anyone's family history to find a connection to this story, you know, manufacturing.
You're absolutely right. Well, that's right. And, you know, God gave us the free will to do what we choose. We have to start choosing America first. There's no dancing around about it anymore. As I listen to people and I go around, it's amazing how it changed from the last, say, 4 years. People would say, I don't think it's going to have any effect and this and that. If I can't find something, where am I going to do? Hunt around for it? My answer is, yeah. It's good for the economy. It's good for you. Get some exercise. Go in, brutalize a few of the people at the stores. Make yourself happy. And also, you know, help jobs in the USA. I do it, and I love it. I enjoy it. People walk in the store with me, and they say, I love what you have to say. I'm going to start doing that. I say, please do. I plead with you to do it.
You know, it's funny, guys. I just want to add another point to all this. And again, it's all about the presentation. It's all about the narrative that's crafted, and it's all about cherry-picking the data. Look, the president was elected twice, as we know, by the majority of those who voted. So I am not going to take away the fact that he was elected, because in our republic, or our democratic republic, he was elected. But, I mean, you talk about lottery. I mean, the president was, you know, he was in Illinois organizing a bunch of hood rats, right? Half of them were trust fund babies. Hard work. Lottery. Come on. Who are we kidding here? Junior senator running on hope, talking in the stadium that John Elway won a bunch of games in. Again, I'm not going to put down the fact he was elected. I'm also not going to say that he's done everything wrong, because I don't think he has. But when you want to talk about the most important issue in this country, guys, which is the economy, I wish that people had a little bit of a higher expectation about what our president would say about the thing that really creates jobs and the things that can look to close these income inequality issues, which is small business creation, which mostly comes from middle class. Middle class people are the ones, Michael, I know, who own businesses. They're the ones who started them up. The customers of mine who are business people and business owners, every time I talk with them, everybody, Michael, is struggling. They're all working a lot of hours because it's what they love, it's what they want to do. And that again is the problem with the presentation. And let's not also not to regurgitate this one, but just the other day I read that Hillary Clinton has now refocused her campaign on small business. And I'm sitting laughing at this, because I'm thinking, this is someone who's been around for two decades, has been a senator, has been Secretary of State, and is just now starting to understand small business. Just now, you're starting to just now get that. We already know what she said about whoever they is, don't let them tell you that businesses create jobs. Sitting there, who does? But again, Larkin, it doesn't matter what's said, because the people who are there are just kind of like brain dead, paid to be there people who couldn't run a hot dog stand if they needed them. No offense to anyone who runs a hot dog stand and listens.
That's why I don't lemonade
stand. Doesn't matter what people said, they're going to agree anyway.
I know a handful of people running hot dog stands and they're making more money than all of us put together.
Yeah.
So that again, in and of itself, is kind of an honorable avocation, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you the difficult part is that it's hard for me to be partisan, bipartisan. It's hard for me to be any kind of partisan right now, because there's you know, much to my chagrin, there's nobody out there right now that I'd vote for. I mean, really.
That's scary, Larkin.
I thought Rand Paul was a little, you know, and then all of a sudden, let's throw out all of the security that we've built to keep this country safe, all in the name of giving WHO protection from having their information stolen. I mean, you know what? If they want to monitor my phone calls, they might learn something.
Well said, Larkin. Ooh, I love that.
Lock yourself out. You can listen to my phone calls all you want. I have nothing to hide. And anybody that objects to it either has something to hide or just doesn't understand the severity of the problem that this country faces day in and day out, trying to protect itself from some pretty crazy people that live around the world.
Yep. There's a lot of anger in the world because we don't have jobs. We don't have security. Many of those people are in the same situation as some of the American people are now in. They don't have jobs. They see the world is growing up. Good things are happening in the world, and yet they're not part of it. So they're, you know, they're angry, and there's no reason for them to be happy until there is some way for them to have a better life on their own. Gentlemen, I have to take a few moments to just pause and to mention a few of our very faithful sponsors very briefly today. I want you to know, first of all, that each of these individuals that I'm going to mention is a daily or weekly sponsor. We're on 7 days a week here on 860, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And I want to thank all of these people for all they are doing to help the Buy American Made campaign. Before I mention them, I want to remind all of you that this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as well as every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month, is National Small Business Weekend. Kindly go out and support all of your local businesses and make sure you let them know that they can check out National Small Business Weekend on the internet by going to nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com. And when you're out shopping, also make sure you let them know about our radio broadcasts here on 860, and also invite them to tune in anytime by going to americanworkersradio.com. Best wishes to all of our listeners from Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, as well as from Serena's Auto Body Shop. And they have two locations. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And the Net Cost Market is an outstanding place for you to shop. Visit them at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the PRCUA, wishes all of you the very best and reminds you, for all of your life insurance plans, check out the PRCUA on the internet by going to PRCUA.org. You can give them a call at 1-800-772-8632. And Michael Steinman is an outstanding attorney. He has two offices, one in Center City, Philadelphia, the other in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-564-1866. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Eva Machak. She has two offices in Philadelphia. Give her a call at 215-739-2787. And best wishes as well from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and from the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. No matter what you're looking for in the way of travel, they are there to assist you. Give them a call at 215-634-3396. And Giorgio Foods has been a symbol of quality in America since 1928. Look for them where you shop. And Mr. Martin Bednarek of Washington Savings Bank in Philadelphia wishes all of you the very best and encourages you to go out and support your local businesses. And Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You can contact her anytime at 215-423-4824. And Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance remembers us always by spreading the word about American Workers Radio. And I want to thank Karen. Remember, she handles auto, home, and life insurance plans for State Farm Insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And remember to tell her you listen to all of us here on 860 AM. And Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental welcomes you to have your dental services provided by him. Give him a call at 215-671-0188. And also, Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the PNA, invites you to give them a call about your fraternal life insurance plans, annuities, and investments. Give the Polish National Alliance a call at 1-800-621-3723. Also, best wishes from everyone from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Visit them anytime at sugarhousecasino.com. I am Michael Blihash, as per the FCC, and I am sitting here in the studio with Henry Czaplinski, our well-known engineer and well-known opinion person who likes to stay in the background but is always giving his opinions. And I want to also tell you something before we go back to Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Larkin Connolly, that the debt clock has expanded on the front page of American Workers Radio. Now, this is a debt clock put out by the United States Census and also by the United States Department of Labor and Statistics Bureau. I ask you that you all open the entire debt clock. It's expanded another whole link now. You will be able to see what the population is, which is now 320 million. In the workforce, total workforce, 148 million. Not in the workforce, 93 million. It shows how many people are now in prison, 2,313,000. How many are convicted felons, 6,592,000. How many children are in our public schools, 50,245,000. How many United States veterans are on the rolls? 21,257,000. And in the present armed forces as we speak, 1,369,000. This is a report that really deserves your attention. I encourage you, please, Rich, Mark, Larkin, look at the new expanded edition. Open it up wide on your computer, and you will now also notice right on the top that we are in debt $18,251 billion in debt, and national leaders are not discussing the important issues outlined on the U.S. debt clock, which, by the way, is put up there by the United States government. That's the thing that totally amazes me. With that, I'm going to ask Mark Andel to continue his thoughts today.
Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. One thing, did anybody catch the president on Jimmy Kimmel probably about a month ago? He was talking about Ferguson and everything. But he did bring up that, Washington's broke. You know, I'm the first to admit it, but as a leader, it just worries me, whatever side, and I'm always just for the American, my party's America. But it was a comment that really always stuck with me, because as a leader, you've got to really work on that problem, getting people, to talk and work together. What's your take on that, Larkin?
Dr. Larkin?
Oh, maybe we lost Larkin.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mark.
I apologize for that. I had it on my contraption on mute and didn't realize that. What was your question, Mark? I apologize.
No, I had seen the president was on Jimmy Kimmel Live within the last month, and he just happened to, they were talking about many things, but then they brought up, and he admitted, Washington, I admit, is, broken. But as a leader, it's a tough one just to say it's broken. You got to hold, have responsibility and accountability, no matter what side. Like I said, not just picking on the president as leadership, but this was a major. It really struck me when he's, yes, Washington's broke, but we've got to work together to fix it, right?
Well, I don't think there's any question of that. I'm glad to hear that. I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel, but I'm glad to hear that he recognizes that fact. I think there are a lot of current politicians in Washington, D.C. that live in constant abject denial
that there is any problem whatsoever with the money supply and the debt that we have to foreign nations and the fact that this country is just, I mean, could you spend money like that, Mark? I mean, can you go out and pay your vendors with a note that says, hey, I'll pay you back when I get my money?
Yeah, you know, they shut the lights off before you even missed the last
one. Right. Hey, they shut the lights off and then ask you, when are you going to pay? So, you know, it's crazy. And I'm really looking for a candidate and or a current politician to recognize that fact and say, you know, and that's where the leader comes in that we talked about last weekend, and say, you know, we do have a problem, and guess what? I'm not going to leave my watch as the leader of the free world without doing something to fix this. And I'm not going to blame the other party. I'm not going to blame portions and parts of my own party. I'm going to fix it. And here's how we're going to do that. And the issue is that never happens. They move on to some other subject. Instead of saying, all of these entitlements that we have, let's cut the entitlements in half and turn those entitlements into rebuilding our infrastructure, a good WPA program, or fixing a lot of the maladies that we have in this country, and not throwing people into starvation and throwing them onto the street with nothing to eat, but just redirecting the money, which should generate jobs, for those people who are collecting that money. There are so many answers. There's so many possibilities. It boggles the mind. And nobody's willing to look at Americans and say, we have to go back to work. We have to get back to work and fix what's wrong with this country. And it's infrastructure. It's the fact that we have nothing made in this country. There are myriad issues that have to be addressed, but boy, we just can't get politicians to recognize.
Right, and that is why, Larkin, what we are doing through broadcasts like this, we're urging people to make decisions on their own to support America, because we really don't have anybody in the highest places. So the lower places we're not going to be concerned about. But the highest place in Washington, D.C. is not giving us an example. If I was Jimmy Kimmel Live, I would have, on Jimmy Kimmel Live, I would have asked, first thing is, do you ask people what they're doing to benefit America? All the niceties and all that, that's got to stop. Sure, I'd like to see the presidents and the vice presidents and everybody else go on all these shows, but let's get serious. When a salesperson calls me, the first thing I ask him is the product made in America? If the answer is no, I say, well, I've chosen to direct my buying power to items that are made in America. When many times they'll say, well, why does it make a difference? I said, because I'm trying to support American workers at this time. When you get items and you're selling items that are made in America, call me back and I'll welcome your telephone call and I'll welcome to sit down and talk with you. But right now I'm directing my dollars to American-made products. And many of those people say, I agree with you and I see your point. Why can't our national leaders take that small example and take the Mark Twain example and let's get started? The only way we get ahead is when we get started. In 35 years that I've been watching, I don't think I've seen one person come forward. Maybe you have, Larkin. Maybe Rich could call me out on it. Or Mark, is there someone that you've seen said, I am going to base my whole career on getting jobs back in America?
Well, and the problem is that Americans have become, as Mark so amply puts it, Americans have become lazy, and that they'll nod their head and listen to you and say, you know what, you make a great point. A lot of my brothers could get back to work. Brothers and sisters could get back to work if we would change
that very thing. Then they hang up, and the next time they go to Walmart, they buy on price. They don't ask if it's made in America. It's a convenience issue for them. It's a spending issue.
It's a spending issue. In fact, Larkin, I will tell you, I went to look for a specific product yesterday, and I couldn't find it in two stores, and someone directed me to Walmart. Well, of course, I went into Walmart. I figured, well, the other stores don't have it. Let me see if this store does.
Did you hold your breath the entire time you were there?
No, I didn't. But I will tell you this, Larkin. I was impressed with the way the people were walking around with their kids and looking for little shirts and things like that. And I did speak to one particular lady, which I admire her because she said to me, I'm unemployed, but I want my kid to have as many nice items that they can have for the summer season. And she was looking in the section where they were selling T-shirts and all multicolor shirts. And I looked at the shirt and I said, geez, I wonder if that is made in America. And she said, I think American items are too expensive to be in a store like this. And that was a good point. I said to myself, interesting. Why are our items not able to be in a store like Walmart and be in competition with the items that are coming in from abroad? That's the way we're going to have to balance this thing out to 50-50.
Because we can't pay Michael $2 a day.
Well, but, you know, let me say, as I mentioned this before, you're right, Rich. We can't pay $2 a day, but we are taking in products from afar, from overseas, that are being made by people paid $2 a day and selling them for $50 in America. So somebody is really getting hurt in the process. The people in those foreign countries that are living poor now are going to remain living poor. The people in America that are unemployed are not going to have a job, and they're going to lose whatever job skills they could generate in the time that they're unemployed. And worst of all, our products are not represented in many of the stores, be it Walmart or anybody else.
Well, you know, the problem is if you take everything off the shelves that isn't made in America, there isn't going to be anything left on the shelves.
That's exactly right. How do you return, Mark? You're dealing with many clothing items. How do we get back that 50-50? I mean, some of your clothing providers could say, well, we need to do this or that. Maybe we can talk to somebody, even off air, to see what suggestions they could do.
You know, Mike, it is coming back, and that's what I love this consumer report, because the consumers buy it. But, you know, again, we're up 6,600 products. We're adding products this week. We even just contacted Igloo yesterday, your Igloo cooler. Rich, you probably got, you know, some beer for the beach. Igloo and Coleman, they're waving that flag on their products, and we go back through, and of course we drive them crazy because 100%, you know, the process to make the foam and everything. But we're getting closer, so we're going to have coolers, these different items as we go. But, you know, what's nice is, even in this article, they mentioned how China, you know, people, 300 American companies have moved back, Mike, within since April 2010. Actually, right when we started, we kind of jump-started a whole movement there. But back, what they're finding out, China, well, it's expensive. The labor's rising. The shipping. People want to be back to home. Even if you go to Caterpillar, I just wrote the president last week. I had met him last year. You know, they want to be a continent of consumption. That's the new thing, continent of consumption, which they include, you know, in North America, you got Canada and Mexico. And, you know, that's okay, but that's getting closer because of transportation costs. So there's a lot to it. The positive thing is, one thing in this article that bothers me, they credit everything. You know, people are coming back here. They want cheaper transportation. They're finding out you got to innovate and build it here, tie to your factories. But they don't credit the person, the consumer, because consumers have the power. I love that they don't mention that consumers are driving this whole thing.
That's why you're there, Mark. You're there to mention it. You know what? You're there to mention it, and that stuff is coming back, like you point out. I love the fact that you're so uniquely positioned.
Do you follow me, Rich? But consumers, even like your friend, you know, Jim Austin knows, you got to create that demand, right? And you got them consumers. These people listen. Our listeners have power. They don't like to admit it, but once we get rolling and realize you can make a difference, we are. And that's why I love to talk about what we've accomplished in 5 years. Ourself is up to 6,600 products, supporting 450 American manufacturers. This brand-new July Consumer Reports magazine says 300 companies have moved back since 2010, and we're on the move. I don't think you can stop it.
No, it's definitely. And you know what's happening that's making it a bigger priority is the fact that our college kids have been graduating the last 4 or 5 years, and not even the basic jobs are available to them because people have just simply cut back on everything. They've automated or whatever. So even the basic jobs. There was a young man who I was not going to bring up at all. Let me just tell you a little bit about this. A man came in and asked me if I could direct him to some employment opportunities. Now, this is what I would call a sleeper type individual. He came in and he said, I said, well, what type of job are you looking for? Do you have a resume? He says to me, I'm working on it. I said, you're working on it? You graduated last May. He said, well, yeah, after I graduated, I went to the shore and I had a job that lasted through the end of the season to the end of October, and then I came back. So I said, okay, then what did you do since you came back? Well, it was Thanksgiving, it was Christmas, then it was so brutally cold, I thought no employer would want to see me. And I thought, well, wait a minute, this is May. I said, well, what were you going to do now? And he says, well, I'm going to go looking around. And I said, do you have the resume? And he says, no, I'm still working on it.
Mike, where's the hunger?
Where is the hunger? I thought to myself, that mother should open the door. Right out the door that nobody would even know what the hell it is.
That's where I'm going to have my father on the show.
We got to get him on, Mark. I insist you tell him.
Talk about this. Even the technical school I'm dealing with, which, by the way, I've got 5 students that are really impressing me from this technical school. We closed the deal. We got them in for the summer between their 2-year program. But when I talk to these teachers, out of the 80 students, 40 won't make it, and he can almost name them. And generally, it's because it's the ones the parents said to do this and are covering the bill.
Right. This is where the problem is.
Passing.
And you hear on the statistics how many young people have moved back into their parents' homes because they don't have the type of job that will give them the opportunity to move on to an apartment or house. And that's the excuse they use. It's got to come to the end of the excuses. We need more jobs in America, more small businesses making and selling items that we can sell in our stores. It's got to be a whole new enthusiasm. We got to give a shot of
WD-40.
Yeah,
Rich,
give them, you know, something.
It can't be too hard, can't be too easy, but we need a little bit harder.
And, you know, Rich, they're talking about we may have 15 candidates running on the Republican side. Larkin, you've been hearing it. Every day somebody new is coming forward that there's not going to be a stage and a camera crew big enough to handle them. Well, when somebody asked me about it just yesterday, I said, I'm not even going to look at it because I don't want to see a stage full of candidates delivering drivel to me that I don't want to hear. I want to know what they're going to do to attract jobs in America. When that discussion is going to be part of their presentation on the stage, call me, I'll advertise, I'll email, I got 23,000 contacts, I'll send it to everybody and their grandmother. Watch them then. Until then, I'm not interested in the little petty battles that they love to do on these different debates.
Watch how big, Mike, the Made in America movement is next year. It's exciting as we come into that election. We want this guy to fall from the sky that doesn't owe anybody, any party, anything. That's just this guy that loves America and just believes and we can trust, right?
As a student of politics, I will tell you that right now they're talking about nothing. It's not, as we say in Pittsburgh, nut crunching time yet. When it does become nut crunching time and they have to stand up and they have to talk about relevant issues and stuff that really matters, and as the bills start to pour in for the price that it costs anymore to become president, we'll have an inordinate fallout. It'll happen. and especially on the Republican side, there's only two or three Democrats because everybody's afraid of Hillary, and yet nobody's willing to recognize how vulnerable she is. So, you know, it's not time to watch yet, unless you're really into Norman Lear type comedy. Then you turn it on and watch it, and just laugh your buns off because they're not talking about anything now that makes any difference to anybody anywhere. And all they're doing is throwing mud. There'll be a heck of a lot of that when it comes down to the final four or two candidates running. But there's going to be a huge dropout here, probably in 90 days, I would guess, maybe a little bit longer than that, before these people realize the expense necessary to become president, how much it costs, the billions. At this point, now we're talking, I was overwhelmed when it was millions. We're now talking about $1 billion
mm-hmm.
to be elected president. A billion.
Larkin, dollars. $6 billion,
you know,
Obama run. $6 billion.
Is that right?
$6 billion. Yeah.
But guy, and Larkin, yeah, you made the dark horse prediction last week that it won't be Clinton. And I got to tell you guys something. I'm gonna make a confession on the air for everybody. I kind of hope it's gonna be Clinton versus Bush, because I would like an election once and for all that puts the nail in the coffin that there's really any difference with the two parties. Like, I'm kind of rooting for that. I mean, I don't know, Michael. If we're not at the floor yet. You know, when I say you can't fall off the floor, I'll admit that for maybe some selfish reasons, I'm pulling for it. I'm hoping. I am. I know that sounds contradictory probably to a lot of what I say, but look, if you're going to do a race to the bottom, you know, let's just accelerate it. You know,
yeah.
Why take the time? So, Larkin, I hope that you're right about that. But on the flip side of it, I say bring it on. I mean, the old English monarchs would blush at that election. That's what I think. I say bring it on, Mike. I'm telling
you,
bring it on.
You know how badly I miss not living in Philadelphia, and how badly I miss South Street.
Oh, I can imagine. I thought about you. I was just there yesterday, Larkin. I thought about you.
A piece of geography, but I also followed relatively closely, because it's not been that long since I've been gone, the elections that they just had in my old hometown. And boy, if it wasn't more of the same, I mean just more of the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to continue this subject. In fact, I'm going to ask Mark, Rich, and Larkin if they would put some thoughts down. So in a future broadcast, we would be able to say what we, the supporters of the Buy American Made campaign, want to see in the next president of the United States. Maybe it's time for us to make some public suggestions and maybe get those suggestions out to the national media so that they would be able to put them on the agenda of things in the future. Remember, first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month is National Small Business Weekend. Please do go out and support your local businesses. And while you're there, make sure you let them know that we're depending on them to feature more American-made items. And when you can, go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the newly revised United States debt clock. It's right there on the top of the right side. Please do check it out. You will see information on there now that will boggle your mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
please do it within 15 minutes of eating.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Remember, we will have a rebroadcast of today's broadcast, and all of our past rebroadcasts are up on the front page of our internet site. Go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and you can click on the Listen Anytime link. Thanks for all of your input. Thanks for spreading the word. I look forward to seeing you in my travels this week. Until Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, have a wonderful.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week, guys. Buy American.